order for Jennifer C.
Is this my double shot, double cream, double froth, double pump, double whip, double sleeve?
Yeah. Can you handle that much caffeine?
Did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Oh, really? That's great.
Seriously, did you know Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, you just said that.
Did you say I just said that?
Yeah, I'm cutting you off.
I can't have any more? Why not?
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the legendary voice of the Christian resistance movement. And tonight, our producer and guardian of the gate is none other than the mighty Andrew.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. You ready for this? Is Friday night? Fright night.
That's right. I'm here for it.
Okay. It's fight night. Now, here, folks, he's a Christian. He's a patriot. He's an author. He's an activist. He's an international preacher. He is none other than my co-host, Big John McTernan.
Well, thank you for the accolades, Pastor Ernie, and may God bless your show, and may all our listeners be greatly blessed, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, we need tonight, Friday night, and so we got to bear that in mind. We can't let our guard down, and so anyhow, and not only that, but we're up against, you know, President Trump is giving a speech right now, and so we're up against the President of the United States with the, that's the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I had to laugh when he started out. He said that there were people there that didn't like him. In fact, he said this is the largest gathering of the most Trump derangement syndrome people in the country. So he hit him right on where it hurts there. But that's a fact. But anyhow, we have to get right into it. The title of the message this week was, Why Does God Allow Evil? Why Does God Allow Evil? And, John, that's probably, I would say, the most asked question that I've gotten on all my years as a preacher. What do you think?
Yes, Pastor Ernie, it is like an enigma. You know, it's for many. Yes, it is.
And so, but actually, the answer is very simple. And now, I had said earlier this week that I can't remember. I've preached thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons in over 50 years. And I couldn't remember if I had ever preached on that a time. But that probably the reason for that is, I know that question is asked, and the answer is all through Scripture. The answer is all through Scripture. The reason God allows evil is the reason God does everything he does. And that's for his glory. He allows evil for his glory. And so we've been looking at different, all through Scripture, different examples of that. And we're going to finish tonight. And we finish in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We just went through Exodus chapter 14. And that was some very good examples. But now we'll pick it up in 15. So you ready to go, John?
I'm almost there.
Okay. There you go.
Exodus. Oh, no. Hang on. I went to Exodus 5 instead of 15.
Well, just add 10 to it and get over to 15.
I am at there right now. Exodus
okay.
15, verse 5.
I want you to read verses 1 through 3 and stop.
Okay. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel his song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea. And the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name.
Now, this is very interesting because a couple of things. First of all, when he said that here he hath triumphed, you said graciously. Actually, the word's gloriously. It was for his glory that he did this.
Yes.
But here, this is the very first time, the very first song in the Bible. The very first song in the Bible. And so, but it's an interesting thing, because this is Exodus 15, and there in verse 3, and the Lord said he is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Well, this song here, the 1 to 3, this is quoted over in Book of Revelations. In the Book of Revelation, Revelation 15, verse 3. So here you've got it in Exodus 15, 3, and it's the same thing's quoted in Revelation 15, 3. What do you think that is?
Well, and Pastor Ernie, and also if you look at Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3, it talks about the battle. Here, let me go to it. Zechariah 14, and it says, and the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. The day of battle is when he destroyed the Egyptian army. So it's quoted in Zechariah chapter 14 as what's going to happen to the nations in the end times when they come against Israel to destroy it. So that's a reference to what happened in Exodus there.
Absolutely, yeah. And so pick it up in verse 4 then, and read verse 4 down through verse 12, verse 4 through 12.
Okay. Pharaoh's chariot and his host hath he cast into the sea. He chose captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depth hath covered them. They sank to the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And thy right hand, O Lord, is become... Okay. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with thy blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them.
I will draw my sword. I will hand, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with the wind, thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them.
Well, going back to verse 6, you're talking about this. Now, the right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed pieces of the enemy. Now, here, Jesus is the right hand of the Father. He sits to the right hand of the Father. And everywhere when it's referred to as Lord there, it's referred to Lord Jesus himself. And so he was the one that fought that fight. He was the man of war. He was the one that threw Pharaoh's army into the water. But verse 8, I found it interesting because, and with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That word congealed means become like, kind of like jello, gelatin. It becomes actually, the water became like gelatin, okay? And here he goes on. When he says back down to verse 12, thou stretches out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them again. Again, one more time, the reference to the right hand. What is, do you know what, all through the scripture, the right hand was a symbol of what do you think, John?
Authority, power.
Right, and that's exactly what it was, the symbol of authority and the power. All right, pick it up there and read verses 13 through 21, if you would.
Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed. Mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By thy greatness of thy arm, they shall be as still as stone, till they pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariot and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the trimble in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea.
This is the first time since Miriam pulled Moses, when Moses was in the little basket, and she pulled him out of the bulrushes there. Actually, they called that an ark, didn't they? A little ark that he was in. And so this is the first time that she's mentioned here. This is the first time she's mentioned as a prophetess. Of course, she was the sister of Aaron, okay? And this was referred to as the Song of Moses, but it was Miriam that was leading in the singing there. So go ahead and pick it up in verse 22 and read it all the way through 27.
So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, And they went out into the wilderness of Ur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried out unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, and I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where the 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water.
Now, it's an interesting thing, because that's quite a... There's been a controversy for years over that, okay? First of all, what kind of a tree was that that put in the water, and that would make the water sweet, again, that would take away... Now, that bitter, do you think that bitter was actually poisonous?
I imagine it probably was, Pastor Ernie.
So, but now there are those that say... That tree is still, those trees are still existing, and those trees will still make the bitter water sweet. But then others say, no, this was a physical miracle that was done, that God did a miracle. What do you think?
I don't know what to think, Pastor Ernie. I tend to think it's a miracle. I don't know what tree. Is there any? Has there been any experiments done about what could tree could make it sweet?
There is a mention of a tree that that would make bitter water sweet, but I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly what that was. Wormwood. It was wormwood. That's what it was.
No. Wormwood is bitter.
Yeah, okay, so, but I think that the actual branch or tree that they put in to make the bitter wormwood sweet, I'm trying to remember that particular passage.
But in Revelation, well, wormwood is mentioned in Revelation chapter 9, I believe.
Yeah, that comes down.
In the water.
Yeah, but I think it's also mentioned. It's also mentioned here, I believe, in Exodus or even in Genesis. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure. But anyhow, what about? He says, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there. Let me go back a verse. When he referred to...
Pastor Ernie.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, palm trees, right?
Yeah.
Isn't the palm tree in Solomon's temple, isn't there palm trees carved into the walls of the temple?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Ezekiel temple... There's palm trees all over the place. And the palm tree gives great fruit, sweet fruit. You know, the date palm. So how about that tree was the one that turned the water sweet?
I'm going to have to tell you, when we have time tomorrow, I'll go look that up, I think. But anyhow, you know what? That's where we're going to end right here. That ends that passage, that message this week here. And so we have a number of things. We have Frank, if you're listening out there, we have Frank going to give us a report. Frank is one of our pro-life activists, and he's a member of Doers of the Word Church, and he's out there weekly basis out there in front of those bloody abortion mills. And he was out there in front of preterm, which is the most bloodiest, and I refer to them as whorehouses of death, because that's what they are in Ohio, one of the worst, bloodiest abortion mills in Ohio. They used to be called Blood Alley, right there where he's at. John, you've been out there with me. In fact, you've been out there with me at preterm. And so,
yeah, Pastor Ernie, describe this place so I can see it in my mind.
Hold on just a minute. I think Frank's trying to call me. Hold on a minute. Okay. Keep talking, John.
Frank, Pastor Ernie, there was one place that had broken windows. It looked like an old broken-down factory right next to a pro-life center. Remember that, Pastor Ernie? And he's talking to someone on the phone. Yeah, folks, I visited, when I lived in Pennsylvania, I visited Pastor Ernie many times. And on Saturday, we would go out to the, I'd go out to the abortion centers with him. And then on Sunday, I would preach on his church. And but now I live in Texas, you know, obviously I can't do it. But yeah, we had some really experiences with the Lord together at the abortion centers.
Yeah, I'm back right now. That was Frank. You know, Frank had been in a terrible, terrible accident. He took a lot of damage to his head, and he's had these terrible headaches over the years. But he's a staunch pro-life activist, been coming out with us for years, and so here he's been very. You know, up till about 4 or 5 years ago, I was out there for 45 years, week in and week out. John, you know, the two of us, and yeah. we saved a lot of babies for reasons. But Frank is one of those that he comes out and he holds our place, and he's out there saving babies. And we have these little weasels, these pro-death weasels that come and they sneak up and they try to steal your signs. And Frank, with that, I'll turn it over to you. Tell us what happened out there at that bloody preterm abortion mill today.
Okay, Pastor. Yeah, it happened in front of preterm today on Shaker Boulevard. My signs were taken three other times by a maroon car. Well, the car stopped in front of the signs today, and it was the one who stole the last three signs. Gone for four. We stopped him, and his name is Drew Thomas. He works for physical offices in Cuyahoga County. I'm pretty sure it's Cuyahoga County. We went to the police department and made a police report telling them this is the fourth time. He said, when I had said we're going to the police department, he said he's not going to stop taking the signs. So I pray he will stop doing it. I pray for him to find the Lord somehow.
Well, the thing of it is
that he's not going to stop doing it.
No, that's theft, and we'll make a, let me tell you what, we'll, you know what we've had to do in the past. You remember some years ago, the commander over there, I believe was the 4th District, a fellow named William Tell, he came, it was on March 8th, when I was out in front of the bloody preterm, when they were over there in Cleveland, right there in University Circle, and I had these signs, this big sandwich sign. And he came with his cops, and they stole my sign. He stole my sign. And so what I did is I gave the mayor's number out. And I said, folks, and I asked the people, they stole my sign. I want my sign back, and you need to call the mayor's office. So they were calling, people were calling the mayor's office talking about this, so the mayor's office called me and said, please stop that. I said, I want my... They said, you can come get your sign, please. Come get your sign. We're sorry. We apologize. I said, no. He stole it, and I want William Tell to bring my sign back. And so he come out there. He was the commander, and he come out running his mouth. I mean, he was dropping profanity everywhere, shouting. And I told him, you are being disrespectful without a cause. You've got no right to be so disrespectful. And then I said, I'm going to charge you with theft. So I called the prosecutor's office. I said, I want to charge him with theft. And, well, they were just doing her duty. I said, well, folks, I kept on it. And they kept calling. They kept calling the mayor's office. And they said, please, please, come get your son. And I said, no, I want it returned. Well, finally, they returned it, okay? But you have to, and we'll do this. If they don't bring charges against this guy for doing that, I think we need to let the mayor know, okay? Or I've had now, see, there at the 4th District, we have some good cops and some bad cops. We have some very good ones and some very bad ones. And remember those ones that we caught them taking money, taking bribes. You know, I put their names and badge numbers out over the air because they were stealing, okay, taking money from the abortion mills. And when I was attacked, I wanted to press charges, and they refused to even make an arrest. So we put their names and badge numbers out and asked, you know, let people know. And what happened was I went back down there, and instead of how, you know, they always have, every time I would be out there, there'd be one cop, a car would be sitting there watching me the entire time. Well, this time there were two. And so I'm standing there, and here a car pulls up real slow, and I look down, and the cop pulls up, and he says, and I thought, here we go. He said, you see that car over there? I said, yeah, I see that car over there. They're watching you. I said, they're always watching me. And he said, no, it's different this time. He said, you fronted those guys out. You put them in the street for taking that bribe. And I want to, and this cop says, we want to thank you, those of us that are clean, we want to thank you because these guys give us all a bad number. They're watching you and we're watching them. We're here to make sure that they don't do anything bad. But watch your back because the word is that they have, there's a contract down right there on you, out there on the street. So I had to watch my back, which way I had to do anyhow, for many years out there, boy. But we saved a lot of babies.
I hope he'll open his eyes and he'll stop. You know, I just hope he'll open his eyes and stop what he says he's not going to. But I don't know. I think sometimes, too, maybe he might have done this and he's feeling guilt and he don't like what he sees and reminds him about it. I have really no idea.
Okay, what is his name again? What is his name again?
Drew Thomas.
Okay. Did you say?
I said physical office is what he worked for because we had a picture of his work card.
Okay, so.
So I don't.
What we'll do.
Actually, is.
Well, do you still have the card?
A picture of it. Yeah, I'll show you Sunday.
Well, if it's got a phone number on it.
I don't think it had a phone number.
Oh, okay. I was going to say we could give it a call, but we could probably find the office and give him a call and ask his boss to make him stay there and work and not come out and harass better men, better people that are out there doing the Lord's work. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you for doing your service. God bless, Frank.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's a fellow there. He's, you know, it's not easy for him either. He was in a terrible accident, and all of that, he's had a lot of headaches. We've had prayed over him so many times for this headaches. But anyhow, that's what's going on. Now, John, that's the same bloody abortion mill we were at where you were preaching to that security guard, and he couldn't take it. He ran around the other side of the building and ran into me, and he said, oh no. And so I picked it up where you left off. That's where you went and where all those old pro-deathers were, and you got in the midst of them.
Yeah, I had a big pro-life sign.
Yeah,
and there must have been about 20, or it was a good sized crowd there in front of the abortion center. So I got in the midst of them and held a sign up high, and it looked like a big pro-life rally. So they asked me to move And I said, no. I said, no, I like being here. So they all left.
Yeah, I know. They were confused. You didn't know. They didn't know what to do. It's a lot of those people, they're talked in, they're persuaded to come out there, just like these rent-a-mob now, where they find a lot of retired people that they got the time on their hands, and they pay them $15-$20 an hour just to come out and act silly, act foolish, and that's what they do. Hold signs. A lot of them just, they do dances and sing stupid songs and things out there. Well, but they're paid to do that. Anyhow, you know, I wanted to mention one thing here. You know, every now and then when, you know, I have a company, usually it's a very local company that gives excellent service. Well, I needed a bridge built, John, so the next time you're out here, you're going to see my bridge. But I needed a bridge because the river runs through my yard, and I didn't have access to getting to a lot of property over there. I had a bridge at one time, but it kind of deteriorated. So I called Bridge Solutions, and these people are out of South Boston, Virginia. A fella named Atlee Lehman runs that, Bridge Solutions. And they came out, I couldn't believe it, all the way from Virginia, and they built a bridge. I mean a big bridge, John. 12 feet wide and 60 feet long, with concrete piers, everything, and both sides of that river. They did it in one day. They came in one day they built that complete bridge. And folks, they did an excellent job, and price-wise, very, very competitive. So if you're out there and you need a bridge builder, because I had a hard time finding someone to build a bridge, you can call them, Bridge Solutions, and I'll give you their number. It's 434-404-1694. Again, that's Bridge Solutions, 434-404-1694. And tell them that you heard about it here on this radio program. So, anyhow, picking it up where we left off, I kind of wish I could have heard some of Trump's speech, because he looks like he was gearing up. He was saying that he was really going to, he was giving hints that he was going to really go after, you know, because that's what they do at these White House correspondence dinners. They roast people. He was going to really go after them. But I had to laugh. The looks on the faces, and you could tell some of the Trump staff, you could see before all this was starting, they were standing around Trump staff people talking to those in the press, and you could see them, boy, they were not happy. Sometimes they were really getting into it and arguing, you know, but anyhow, I'm sorry I had to miss that, but that's just our luck to be up against Trump on a Friday night. Anyhow.
Well, Pastor Ernie, as you're speaking, I'm looking at a headline about the event. And it says, talking point, liberal journals covering the event claim Trump has destroyed trust in the news media.
Trump?
It's too funny.
Yeah.
They won't take responsibility for what they did to themselves.
Yeah. No, he exposed the news media. And, yeah, I can tell you. Well, you know who else did that? You know, you had that, what they call The Economist, that talk radio program, supposed to be a conservative, that woman on their Bedso, and she has Elon Musk on there. And so she starts telling him about, do you know how many people in this world hate you? How many, she really went after him. That all of these people that hate you, why do you think? And he turned that around on her so big. He says, yeah. He said, there are a lot of people that hate me. He said, but there are more people that love me than hate me. But for you people, no. For telling lies, you people, you know. And he told her this bit, so... You are more people hate you, far more people hate you than love you, okay? And then he started naming all the things they were lying about and talking about, you know, what has happened, what Trump has accomplished, what he accomplished, and so on and so forth. And then compared to them, what have you done? What have you, you know, so he really went after her. And boy, she wished that she had never put him on the program, I can tell you that.
So well, they're dumb, Pastor Ernie. They live in their little worlds that aren't real. And they think it's real, and all right, they've lied so much they believe their own lies. And when they come out into the open, that's what happens to them. They're stupid. They are actually dumb.
Yeah, that's what Trump was calling them. You're right. I mean, sometimes you're hearing people like AOC. I have to laugh because they have her. I don't know if you've seen it up on the internet. She says, people say that call me a moron, but I've never even been to Utah. In other words,
she took it for Mormon. My goodness.
Yeah. Then, what was this is the last one that one of her bright sayings is that it came to I had this, I couldn't believe it. Anyhow, how capitalism destroys freedom. You know, this is just unbelievable. And hear that voting, making people have IDs, a photo ID, is illegal because it only allows American citizens to vote and it doesn't allow non-citizens.
I know, Pastor Ernie. I know. It's like, it's so dumb.
But here, AOC, did you see what's happening now? They got two different polls out there from those on the far left. And here, AOC leads in one, and Kamala Harris leads in the other. And here, they're claiming that they're going to be, that this is going to get bloody between, that there's going to be a bloody Communist Party catfight. And it says that because the DNC is supposedly supporting Kamala Harris, but Kamala Harris now says she's going over to the hardcore communists. She's becoming a disciple of Moron Mandummy, okay? And so this gets dumber and dumber. And so, I don't know. Anyhow, we got to tell you this, though. This is important here. You know, Senator Thune, you know, Thune, there was 11, I read their names off, and how much money that they've been getting from these, the cheap labor, the illegal alien groups that support the illegal aliens in this country. And so, Anyhow, these people have made donations to a number of senators. I read the names of 11 last week. I think it was this week. No, it was last week. It was pledge week. And 11 senators who got money from this group. And, of course, the one who got the very most money from this group, it was Senator Thune. And he got $1,580,000. Thune said he got $1,580,000. And so this is why, to me, it's pretty obvious that he's trying to stop the Save America Act. He's been stalling it and everything else. So President Trump is asking people out there, he's asking the listeners out here, to call Thune's office and say, look, we all know you got money from that group. stop holding up the Save America Act. And so that number is 202-224-2321. This is Senator Thune. And his phone number, folks, is 202-224-2321. I know some of you are saying, well, boy, I didn't have a pen. I'm going to I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a few minutes to get a pen, and I'll give that number again in a few minutes, okay? Now, meanwhile, one other thing I wanted to say, too. Did you know that here they just recently burnt down two churches in New York?
Yeah, and, I saw that, Bernie.
And what do you think happened is right away, who do you think tried to get the property and build on that where the two churches were?
Muslims.
Yep. They wanted to build mosques there. Isn't that interesting? It's, you know, it's starting, and I think you're going to see a lot more of that, huh? Don't you?
Oh, Pastor Ernie, I mean, it's getting to be quite something here in Texas. And the Muslims are really moving big time, and they actually want to take Texas down, seriously. You know,
well,
they'll get enough in here, and they'll hook up with the Democrat Party.
Well, they've been hooked with the Democratic Party and for quite a while. And so, anyhow, I know you Cowboys out there aren't going to let that happen. I know that there'll be another Alamo, won't there?
Well, they had it the primary this year. They had like a question on it for the Republican voters. And the question was, I'm paraphrasing it, but do you want Sharia law outlawed in Texas? And the percentage was 99% said yes.
I bet that's...
So the politicians are working right now as we speak to draft law to prevent Sharia law. But the problem, Pastor Ernie, is you can't separate Sharia law from Islam. That's the problem. So something has to be done where you can't have the Muslims act on the first, say it's our First Amendment right, and then that will destroy, Sharia law will destroy America as we know it.
So you're seeing pushback, believe it or not, now. You're seeing in Great Britain, you're seeing it in France, in Italy, you're seeing, and even Germany has started to deport. I wanted to say Switzerland, but it's not Switzerland. It's not Holland. Denmark, even they're wanting to now start to deport these Muslims back to North Africa. And so here, I know that there's a big call, Trump wants to put a complete stop on any Muslims coming into this country. So,
well,
I think, yeah, I think we have to do it.
The Democrats see them as voters. That's what they don't care. Illegal aliens, bring millions of them in and get them to vote for us.
Yep.
Open the floodgates for Muslims, bring them in and get them to vote for us. So anything, Pastor Ernie, they will go for. In the meantime, they're destroying America, but they don't care. They don't care.
I know. All right, I want to give that phone number out for folks to call Thune's office one more time. It's 202-224-2321. Well, you passed that. You had that redistricting thing in Texas, and the courts held to it. So it's still you're going to pick up a bunch of new seats, right, in Congress?
Five seats. Yeah, and it looks like all five will be, you know, Republic will be set up for Republicans.
Well, now here. There's a huge, huge win for Tennessee for the GOP because the federal court rejected the ACLU bid to block that. So now there's a new 9-0 Republican congressional map. So that's a big, tremendous win,
yeah,
isn't it?
And here is five. You know, we gained five seats here in Texas. So there's 914 seats.
Well, but there's other states that offset that where you have, where we don't have, and Republicans don't have any, you know, seats like, I'm trying to think.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts would be one. And new.
Yeah, but they're not picking up any new seats, Pat, Ernie, the Democrats. Those are seats that they had already.
Well,
and we're going to be picking up about 14. And then the South Carolina is involved. Florida is going to win more. Alabama, Mississippi. This is big. It can be 20 or more seats, potential 20 or more seats.
Well, let me ask you this, because, you know, here's my concern is that people are going to say, look, these communists are so radical, so crazy. I mean, they're so out there, so far out, that nobody's going to vote for them. And I'm concerned that the Republicans, and there's a number of them right now, that are unhappy with Trump. Trump's doing his job. We just, last night's radio program, we read off a list of about 50 accomplishments that Trump's had that are very, very pro-America accomplishments that since he's been in office. We just read that off last night's program. But there's a number of Republicans that are out there that are dissatisfied. And you got the rhinos are still there, wanting to, you know, stop him at every turn. Now, I don't agree with everything Trump does, and I'm not really big, you know, on all of these new plants that they're opening all over the country. The power plants that are
the AI,
yeah. Yeah, I'm not real happy. I think they're moving much too fast with that. What do you think?
Oh, Pastor Ernie, the amount of electricity that draws and the amount of water it draws, no. No, it's driving electric costs up. And this stuff here with AI, they have to have it so it's under control. You know, I mean, it's a monster. It can become a monster.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm concerned about, that they should slow down. Now, a number of these plants have, they're putting their own power plants in. In other words, they have their own plants that produce their own electricity, okay? Whether they're running off huge generators or what, I'm not sure, but I still think they're moving much too quickly. And they keep saying we have to do that to get ahead of China, but you know, what are they doing? They're collecting information. And who are they collecting information on? Us. They're collecting all that.
Right. It's more than us, but yes. They'll have a dossier on every American.
Yeah, I know. And so.
So what they do, Pastor Ernie, is they collect all this information digitally. I mean, an incalculable amount of information. And then they have AI who goes, sorts through it and finds out all this information. You know, like the AI is the intelligence to take this all this data and make it into findings. You know, that's what it is. So all of it, anything that's digitized about you, anything and everything, will be subject to AI, and they can have this big dossier on you of everything in your life.
Well, you know, and I don't like, you know, I don't like as it is right now. Everywhere you go, there's cameras everywhere out there today, and I don't like being watched 24 hours a day. And I know we've mentioned this here several times. I'll walk into a restaurant someplace, and my phone will buzz, and they'll tell me, they'll give me the special at that restaurant. In other words, they're telling me they know exactly where I'm at, okay? Now, one good thing about this, you know, this year, just this year already, I've had two tornadoes come through my yard this year. And I got my phone, you know, went on one of those loud blasts, you know, the sounds, the warnings. And I picked, yeah. I looked at it right away, and it says, "There's take shelter, there's a tornado in your area, take shelter now." And sure enough, right outside, coming down the river, was a tornado. And so, that's, you know, I mean, it does some good, too. But, boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't like all the being spied on all the time.
Well, Pastor Ernie, spied on, this kind of got, what's the word, under the radar, but not under the radar, past new cars, and I don't know what year it starts, but new cars are going to have cameras in the car watching you while you're driving.
Yeah, I know. They're going to be deciding whether or not you're fit to drive.
Yes, they can just turn the car off.
Yeah. I think that's an invasion of privacy. I think we got to do something about it. It's gotten way out of hand. What do you think? Well, I'll tell you what.
The Republicans passed it. And I've got a headline right here. Let me find it. I was just looking at it. And it has to do about spying on cars. So you continue talking, Pastor Ernie, but let me find
all right. Well, you're looking for that. $225 million. $225 million in hideous fraud scheme found across U.S. schools through the public school system. Fraud, $225 million worth. A new report from the State Financial Offices Foundation and Open Books uncovered nearly 90 alleged fraud schemes involving roughly $225 million across American schools since 2019. The report alleges that the school districts have been embezzling funds, creating fake invoices, and pocketing the money, lying about student enrollment numbers to collect more aid, and bid rigging and receiving kickbacks. The State Financial Officers Foundation, from here on I'll refer to as SFOF, and Open Books reviewed the U.S. Department of Education Office Inspector General's semiannual report to Congress between 2019 and 2026, finding that fraud has taken its place in 24 states and Puerto Rico. I mean, it's... What do you want to bet that 99% of these involved are Democrats? All fraud is harmful.
It always does, Pastor Ernie. All of this corruption we see, I haven't seen one Republican. I mean, there's a major corruption uncovered in Minnesota, in California. How about in Ohio, Pastor Ernie? You've uncovered it.
Oh yeah!
I haven't seen one, not one Republican.
Yeah, New Jersey is big time in the state of Washington. Everywhere you go, you're finding out there's a lot of, and especially in New York too. And so, anyhow, all fraud is harmful.
I found that article, Pastor.
Well, you know what? We're coming up to a break, so hold on to it. And then after, once we come back from the break, I wanted to finish this article here about all this, the fraud in the public school system. These people are in charge of your children. I mean, you know, and of course, that's where liberals always go. They want to get into education. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian Resistance.
To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.